Hey, you, wake up. It's Saturday morning. It's time to jump on that to-do list. But that home improvement project doesn't have to be a chore. Before you jump in, tune in here to About Your House to listen and learn from the most experienced and reputable service providers in the industry. On today's show, we have Jeremy and Caitlin Johnson of Star Electric. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also, brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us as we spread a little love. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to a beautiful, I say beautiful because sun's not out. You know, it's been a hot summer. Get up in the morning, you go outside, it's hot, muggy. Humidity's typically around 60 to 70% every morning. And because of the, and why is that? Because of science, man. It's near the dew point. And we've talked about the weather many times, so I won't give you a weather lesson this morning first thing. But anyway, it's cloudy today, on its way up to a high of 89, pushing 90 degrees tomorrow, 82 high. Thunderstorms around a lot tomorrow, probably going to rain Tuesday, 88, and then we hit the 90s again and take it on to the through the weekend in the 90s. Yep, summertime. I want to talk today about many things, but I've got my guest here. Been about a year and a half, a little over a year and a half, we talked about that, since they've been here. And I got Jeremy Johnson and his wife, Caitlin, in here. And I tell Jeremy to bring his wife because, see, they live up in Greensboro?
Oak Ridge.
Greensboro, yeah. Well, where in the hell's Oak Ridge?
It's just right north.
I thought Oak Ridge was Tennessee.
I think there is an Oak Ridge.
Well,
Tennessee.
See, I thought that's why.
Ours is better, though.
Okay, well, that's good. But y'all live Greensboro area.
Yeah.
Okay, so you come down here and you know kids, you get a little date night going on.
Yep.
Date night action. Well, how'd the date night go?
It went well. Pretty lazy.
Cool.
It was nice to just relax.
That's right. No kids, no family, just get away. And y'all needed that. Did y'all need that?
Yeah.
Caitlin said, heck yeah. You know, it's always good to get away and, you know, but I don't know about visiting Charlotte, North Carolina as far as a getaway. I don't know. At least he's got a real nice hotel. And, you know, I've done that many times in my married life where I went to the Wyndham. And don't we have a Wyndham here or something?
Yeah.
Weston. The Weston, after it was brand new. Really nice hotel, you know. I said, let's go to Weston and pretend like we're in Australia. So we got up there. We're in Australia. And we're only 3 miles from our house, you know.
Yeah.
But it was pretty neat anyway. But I enjoyed doing that many times. You can be anywhere you want. We stayed at the Hilton out at the university one time, my second wife.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out there for a night and said, well, we'll pretend like we're somewhere.
Hey.
And we did, you know. Get away. Little diversion. Anyway, Jeremy Johnson is the workforce development person.
Corporate outreach.
Oh, y'all call it corporate outreach.
Yeah,
corporate all these outreach names, coordinator. All these names, same thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of different
workforce
titles.
Development. What'd you say?
Corporate outreach.
Corporate outreach. I like that. Well, y'all's corporate has changed in the past 2 months. 6 months, excuse me. Because y'all were acquired. I'd like to use that word, acquired. Because in corporate America today, there's companies absorbing, especially in Charlotte, companies, service companies such as HVAC companies, electrical companies, all kinds of businesses are being absorbed by large conglomerates or whatever you call them, I don't know, corporate entities. Comfort Systems USA has acquired many companies around Charlotte in the past 6 months. Precision Plumbing was one of them, Star Electric, one of them. I don't know what they all are, but anyway. But yesterday there was an event. It was a neat event. And I enjoy going to those events. Yesterday's more, and this is something I hadn't shared with you because we hadn't talked. I really enjoyed yesterday's event because I really paid attention. And I watched what those, I don't call them students, those apprentices were doing in a very detailed way. And also, why and what was in the components of the competition. And I'm speaking of an apprenticeship competition. And you have, he said, how many years since 2009 started?
Yeah, something like that. So our apprenticeship is a lot older than that, but I think the competition is somewhere around there.
You've been involved with many of these, haven't you?
Yes.
What do you think of?
I love them. I mean, it's one of my favorite things. I look forward to it every year. I've attended the last 6 years in a row, our in-house competition, and when we have them go to state, the state competition.
Now, explain that to me. Just, you know, this is not unique to the industry, and we're going to talk a little bit about the electrical industry because I talk a lot about put tools in schools because of the shortages we have in within our service industries. And I said service industries because I'm talking about electrical, HVAC, plumbing, automotive, concrete, you name it, surface products, drywall, painting. There's shortfall in labor and workers, period, in every facet of every service industry, to the point where it's almost common theme every day on the phone where people literally want to talk and unload and vent about the stupid that's really in our industry. And I say that, I don't want to, but I about have to because of things I see every day. You see stupid a lot these days?
Yeah, a lot of it.
Okay, the head doesn't make any noise. You got to talk to it.
Yeah, I see it.
I hate it, but we need to address it, and that's the reason we have people like Jeremy on the show, and a lot of people listening to the show say this is supposed to be about your house. It is, because the service people you call are coming to work on your house, and one of the biggest things I hear today is he came and he left because he didn't know what to do.
That's a problem.
It's a big problem. It's becoming more and more of a problem. And then you got people out there. I heard a story from a homeowner this week. He says, you know, the person came in my house and he didn't know why he was there. He was told to come here. He didn't know specifically why he was there. And I had to tell him everything. And I'd already explained this to the service writer or whatever it was at the company. And then when he came, he didn't know what he was doing. So he left. You know, and this is a common thing now. It really is, unfortunately. Well, we're also going to suffer from that, and it's more stressful. If life ain't stressful enough, let me tell you, I had a stressful week because of this stupid technology. My computer is throwing up warnings like crazy now, you know, and it's just a cash scam to get me to download a – anyway.
Yeah.
It everywhere you turn, it's that way. But anyway, so back to the service area. We did an apprenticeship competition. You did. Star Electric. And by the way, Jeremy works for Star Electric. I said it earlier. I got to say it again because Star, I give him great kudos, thank you, and tremendous love because of the support they've given Put Tools in Schools. And they really do, and they even acknowledged it yesterday at this event. But it's something we collectively. And when I say we, let me tell you, it's everybody. It's not just industry. It's everybody. You parents out there, listen to your children. Please, listen to your pay attention. Don't tell them everything they're going to do in life out of your brain, because that's another issue I hear all the time from the kids. You know, well, my parents want me to go to college. And I say, for what?
I don't know. They just want me to go.
They want me to get an education. For what? They don't know. See, it's turned into status quo. It's turned into a scam, literally. And I hear it more times than not, the 40, 35-year-olds and adults, parents, say it was a waste of my time and money. I had a chemistry degree, and right last week on the show here, same thing. You know, but anyway, we move on. So what are we going to do about it? We're going to teach kids. We're going to at least expose them, raise the awareness to the opportunities, because it provides happiness. Jeremy, you've been all over the state now.
Yeah.
All over the state.
All over.
That's your job, right? You go just North Carolina?
I've been to Virginia and South Carolina as well.
Right.
Not as much, but.
Now, what do you do? Tell me, because I see you here, and I see you involved with, you know, STAR and the events we've had with Trades Career Days and whatever we needed. And but what do you do?
So I do quite a few different things.
I
have a, you know, my, if I had 4 feet, they'd be in 4 different things. But I do a lot with raising awareness for the trade. I do a lot with helping give opportunity to students, you know, in the trade. I visit a lot of high schools, talk to a lot of students, especially high schools that have electrical programs. Those are, you know, those are the, essentially the next generation of electricians, especially if there's an electrical program. So we seek out those students and we want to give opportunities to them because, you know they want to go into the trade. They're learning about the trade. They're in, you know, some sort of electrical training in their high school. And when they graduate, they know they're going into the trade. So we seek that, you know, that demographic out, and we want them to come to work for STAR, or just, even if they don't come to work for STAR, just reiterate to them that, you know, they're important, how important they are, and that coming into the trade is, you know, is a good career.
It's a wonderful career.
Yeah, it's not a job. It is a career. And
well, I'm going to ask you a question, and this is how significant to me it is. If you lost your job tomorrow, get another job, would you worry about it?
No, I'd have another job tomorrow.
Right. See, now that's the trades.
Yeah.
So you can jump, and, you know, if you go to work one day and you're not happy with the management, or you're not happy with the way you're treated, and you want better, and not about you necessarily, you just want better for your environmental working conditions, you can leave and walk to the next electrical firm or plumber or HVAC or automotive or whatever. You get the point, and you can get a new job, another job today. Today.
Yeah. That's how it is in the industry right now.
And I'm not talking about just a job.
Career.
I'm talking about career.
There's not enough people in the industry. Every different trade is struggling to find people. There's nobody switching from, let's just say, the food industry or the healthcare industry coming over to the trades. If there are, it's very minimal, not enough to make an impact. So all these companies, let's just talk about electrical because I'm in electrical.
Sure.
We're fighting for people. And which on the pro side, when stuff like this happens, wages go up, salaries go up, which is great. But on the con side, not enough people means jobs can't get done. You know, supply and demand is sometimes a bad thing. But you know, we fight for people. So you could have somebody for 6 months, and the other companies out there, they send out, you know, headhunters or whatever they do, and or recruiters. Just, I won't even call them headhunters, recruiters. And they find people and say, hey, I'll pay you $2 more an hour. And it's, you know, back in the day it was, hey, I'll give you 50 cents. And people would leave for 50 cents. Now it's, hey, I'll give you $2, $3, $4, $5 more. People are leaving for $3, $4, $5 now. That's the normal. It's not 50 cents anymore. It's not 75 cents. It's not a buck. Now it's, hey, I'll give you $1 to come over here. No, I want $4 more. Okay, I'll give you that. Come on over. And then that's what they do. They'll leave. And it's just going round and round and round.
And that's in every sector of the industry. So that's why these companies have to step up and take better care of the employees.
Yeah.
And the future, because there's a lot more to it. 704-227-8986. You're listening to About Your House. I got Jeremy Johnson, his wife, Caitlin, and Caitlin's going to talk here in a minute. She just hadn't figured it out yet. But last time they were here, we had a little family project going on, and that's expanded, and I'm going to talk about that and how it plays into our theme of putting tools in schools, because kids need tools at home, not necessarily at school, but it would be wonderful if it was. But right now, I got to take a break. So listen to About Your House on Fox Sports Charlotte. Download the free app, foxsportsradiocharlotte.com. Facebook Live on About Your House Radio. YouTube Live on About Your House Radio. There it is. Tune in, turn on, and we'll be back. All right, welcome back. I got Caitlin and Jeremy Johnson in the studio. Is that too loud for y'all?
Mm-mm.
Cool. All right, we're talking, well, we're just going to talk about stuff. I brought Caitlin in here because she's the mother of the family. Two kids, right?
Yes.
What age kids?
Almost 17 and 11.
17 and 11. Mm-hmm. Which one's older?
Our daughter.
Your daughter. Now, last year you came in, or your whatever, 18 months or whatever ago, you were working on a truck. Now, that, am I right?
Yes.
Well, and it was a Chevy S10?
C10.
C10. A C10. See, Mom knows all about this because she's observed. Have you worked on any of these trucks?
No. Well, kind of. I helped him get the engine mounted in the 72.
And that's the C-10?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you did that truck for your son or just for you? Or why did you how did all this come to be? And I say this because it's absolutely incredible, because when I was a kid, my father did everything. I mean, he was an electrician by trade, but yet his father, my grandfather, was a pipe fitter. So blue collar was in the blood, big time. And my father would fix the car, fix the lawnmower, fix the garden tiller, anything with an engine on it. Didn't say motor, notice, because motor's electric, engine's an internal combustion machine. Okay. Or ICE, internal combustion engine. Okay, it's an engine. Okay. So anything with an engine on it and motor, because my father was an electrician, he'd fix it. So we had tools. We always had tools around the house. Always. Not just electrical tools. We had plumbing tools. We had mechanical tools. We had automotive, you know, socket wrench sets and that sort of thing. And I grew up with that. So, you know, and I say this because to me it was a way of life that I knew no different. I grew up in a house with tools. So I grew up in a house, and my father being the role model he was, he could fix anything, and he did. And he'd come home, my mom would say, "Why don't you, honey, you got to fix so-and-so. So-and-so's broken," or whatever. And there were many Saturdays that he would jack the car up and fix the car in the driveway. You know, that's how I was raised. And if the house needed a roof, we roofed it. Because I get out of bed, get out of here and help. We had to help, which was great in itself because we helped, okay? And I learned all about all kind of groovy things you can do around the house if you got the tools. But you've got to have the tools. You've got to have tools. And we're going to talk a little bit more about tools as we progress in this show. And because you can't do it, real quick story, little sidebar. I got a 44-year-old student. Call him a student, but he's not. He's a man, two kids. And he's exploring possibilities for his future career pathway. Because he loves working with his hands, always has. He's been around it his whole life, but he never got into it. Same thing. Well, now he's getting into it, and he's shown up in my life for me to help him, I guess. I can't think of any other reason for it. He shows up in my life, and he's using me for guidance. He came over yesterday talking about building a small deck, and I'm going to do everything in my power to encourage him. Well, You did the same thing with a pickup truck, right? Pretty much with your children.
Yeah.
Why did you tell me the story behind that? You got a C10, and Caitlin's over here laughing.
So she found the truck. So
I did.
Well, why? Was it your idea?
Well, yes and no. Our daughter was getting to the age that we really needed to try and start finding a vehicle. So I did. I found this Chevy at, is it too far away? Okay. At a, it was like what? Like a little mom and pop dealership.
Right. A roadside dealership.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So we went and saw it. And of course, when we saw it, he fell in love with it. So we ended up buying it. And because it's a stick shift, she was really not comfortable. So then it kind of just morphed into his truck. And
you bought it for her, but in actuality, it kind of morphed into
a
project truck for Jeremy.
Big time.
Well, she doesn't know how to drive a manual.
Right.
She doesn't want to learn.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, she doesn't really
She doesn't know how.
Learn.
Okay, you don't know how, but you can learn.
Yes.
Yeah.
And make you, well,
I think
okay.
It's a very new driver.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I've been
very nerve-wracking for her, so.
Oh, I know. I've been there. Taught a few kids how to drive a stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So
scared to death. But we go out on the road and said, yeah, you're going to screw up.
Yep.
It's going to be a pain. We're going to spend hours fussing at each other and stuff. But let's make it fun,
mm-hmm.
and let's get through it. Because you're going to learn how to drive this
mm-hmm.
damn truck.
real quick story. The first time I learned, my mom, I was with my mom in her 1994 Honda Del Sol Blue. We were in Torrington, Connecticut. And we were going uphill, and I was driving. She was teaching me how to drive, and I didn't know this, but there was a cop on the side of the road, and I put it in first. We were at a stoplight, and I hit the gas, and I smoked the heck out of the tires, and it was really an accident.
I understand.
You know, I'm trying
to get
a feel.
You just don't know the clutch, the feel of the clutch. Yeah.
And the cop looked over. She looked at the cop, kind of shrugged and went, and I just went on my way, and he just kind of shook his head, and that was it. So I thought I was getting pulled over. I looked, he shrugged his head, or he's shaking his head, and I was just, we just kept going.
Right.
You know, and because as soon as I started smoking the tires, I kind of let off.
Oh, absolutely. And, scared you.
You know, and so that was just really funny.
Right. Okay, so you got the stick shift pickup
mm-hmm.
truck, and but what was wrong with it? I mean, what was wrong with the truck?
I don't really. No, I mean.
Well, you worked on it.
Okay, so in my head, there was nothing wrong. In Jeremy's head, everything was wrong.
Yeah.
Everything. It wasn't fast enough.
Well,
obviously,
it's a
C-10, I don't think you liked the color
either. My goodness sake.
Yeah, you didn't like the color when we bought it. It was kind of like a creamy white.
So.
Blue today, isn't it?
No.
Black.
It's black. I knew it was dark.
Yeah.
So. It's a 1972.
Right.
Everything on it was original.
Right.
So things are worn. Ball joints, you know.
How many miles was
steering.
On it? At the time.
Oh, it's.
No idea.
I think it was.
Like 115 or thing, something like
so
that?
So it was bad. It was at 15. So obviously that's either 115 or 215.
I got you.
I did a little research on that truck, and it was a mail carrier's truck, and it was ordered straight from the factory as a mail carrier truck.
Okay.
And it still had the plaque on the inside of the door where it said U.S. Mail. So
I'll be darned.
But
now you have a son.
Yeah.
When did he get involved? Because did he get involved?
Oh, yeah. The moment that truck came home, he's been involved.
And how old was he at that time?
Oh, my goodness. How long have we had that truck?
He was probably eight. We've had it for
So you got an
8-year-old
boy. Who, when you pull the truck in the driveway,
he was with us when we.
Okay, well, okay, he was with you, so you buy the truck. Now he's excited too.
Very, well, he is a through and through motorhead.
Here's where I'm going.
Yeah.
This is why I brought this up, because of what it does to kids, to get involved in a project such as Jeremy's project, because you know, with that truck. And what'd you do to that truck? What did we do to that truck? Your family.
We did a lot. We
because your son just kind of gravitated and wanted to help. First, how'd that make you feel?
Oh, that made me feel great.
I bet
you
it
know,
did.
It's one of the things. It's a passion for me. I love vehicles. I like to work on vehicles, and
you like to work with your hands, Jeremy.
Yes. Yeah.
Really. Like, and that's the whole connection here, working with your hands and your mind. Because, see, I can tell you, only because I was one once upon a time, I'm still a big kid. I'm a grown man that's a kid dressed in, I'm a kid dressed in man's clothes. But anyway, it excites any child to be involved with a project that he's using his mind and his hands with. And I'll bet there are nights where your son went to bed after y'all worked on that truck, he was still excited and revved up because of what he did that day.
And waking up
ready to go.
Ready to go, yeah.
Ready to get dirty again.
Yep. Yeah, he helped me build the engine. So it had an inline 6 250 in it.
Oh, really?
Original. And we decided to put something a little
peppier.
Yeah. So we got a 350 block and all the parts, and we put it on the engine stand in the garage, and we built it and put it together.
You and your son.
Yeah.
Did the girl get involved yet?
No.
No.
she didn't have much interest.
Not really. Not with that truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's more to come. The saga continues. Okay. So this turned into, you bought the truck actually planning for your daughter.
Yes.
But your son kind of got involved with it with dad, and it became a father-son project.
Yeah, I mean, if you to ask our son today, that is his truck.
Right.
Yeah, and we've...
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
That he's taking ownership.
We've
that's awesome.
Decided.
And that's the point. And here's the biggie. I'm going a little deep here, but that's what I do. You're a father that had the passion and desire and the knowledge, because you were apparently raised around tools, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing. So you were acclimated to doing things with your hands. So here you are, a father, and now you're doing it with your son. Here's the crying shame. We got millions of 40, 45, 50-year-old fathers who didn't have the opportunity, the father, the tools, the setting, the environment, to have what we're talking about. And therefore, people are not conditioned to fix things. But now your son, how old is he now?
He's 11.
He's 11.
Mm-hmm.
And that boy ain't afraid to, and I don't know this, I might be off base, but I can tell you right now, he's not afraid to do things.
No.
And he'll do whatever is out there because you gave him that self-confidence and you've empowered him to use his brain and his hands to create and fix and do things. That is powerful, but it's lacking in our culture and our society today. And that's what Put Tools in Schools is all centered around. It really, for me, has nothing to do with the trades, the labor shortage. It has up what the biggest impact to me is, it's a mental health issue. Because I know, when are you your happiest? See, you got to think about it, don't you? Isn't that amazing in the culture we live that you got to think about that question? And no offense to you,
yeah,
but we got to stop and think.
I think the happiest I am is when I'm at home with my family. Either I'm with them, doing something with them, or just home with them.
Gotcha.
You know, whether I'm downstairs.
But did it give you great joy when you work with your son?
Yeah. Yeah.
High point, wasn't it?
Yep. So those are some of the memories I'm never going to forget.
And nor he.
Nope.
It's part of his life, and he'll take it the rest of his life.
The smiles, the eyebrows going up, the figuring out, you know, the when the light bulb the light bulb goes off because they just figured out how to do something that they've never been able to do before.
They didn't know.
Yeah.
They didn't know what they didn't know.
Yeah. And it just hits them. Oh, wow, I can do this. So
that building, that engine, that in itself, and it ain't even in the truck yet.
No, it is.
Oh, it is now.
It is now, yeah.
But it wasn't. It was right on an engine stand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have one component of this machine called a truck vehicle on an engine stand, and you're building it with him together. That's powerful, man.
Yeah, he loved it.
Of course he did.
He did.
He loved two things. He loved being with his dad, and he loved working on that truck with you, the two of you. Powerful, man.
Yeah.
Made me cry. That's very, there ain't many fathers who can experience that today, and that's a crying shame. It really is.
Yeah, and
I know personally, and I have to admit, I didn't have enough of those times with my son, and it's because of divorce. It sucks. To this very day, it sucks.
Yeah, well, she stuck with me. So.
And, you know, and that's great. It ain't always been easy, has it?
No.
But you did it. And now your son, you built the engine. You got it all running and everything. Then you put it in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then the saga continues because you got a lot more work to do around the truck.
Yeah, so it's...
Put a new rear end in it?
Put a new... Well, I rebuilt the rear end.
I knew you had to with the 350 in it.
Yeah, so rebuilt the rear end. New suspension. New steering. New interior. I put electric seats in it out of a Nissan Murano. And just did a lot of different work.
Is it finished?
No. Far from finished. So
it'll never be finished.
So that's kind of on hold because we got to a certain point.
It runs up.
Yeah.
Roadworthy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can drive it.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to get to a point.
The aesthetic of it, I would say that is not finished.
Yeah.
It's not where he wants it yet.
It's not pristine enough. It's not.
That's right.
Where he won't. He being your daughter, your son?
No, my husband.
Your husband. I just want to get to which one's right.
I know. So, I think my son is, you know, completely content with it being the way it is.
But dad's not.
Right.
No. But so that.
But then, hold on. I got to stop here a minute. We got the CFO beside you, and you made a comment about that earlier. You know, when you do these things, they cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Kaylin, is that right?
Oh, yes.
And she's the bean counter.
Well, we have to take a step back and think about what costs, what a lot of money is.
It's all relative.
I mean, it's subjective.
No, it's not.
Well, there you go. That's funny. You might call it subjective, but I'm not. It's called math, right?
Yes.
It's a addition and subtraction.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And always been there. How many arguments do you get into about what's next? Seriously, you can't count them?
Oh, a lot. Yeah. And I wouldn't really say they're arguments. They're more disagreements.
Well, there are, you know, call them what you want, you know. Debates, whatever.
Yeah, where it's... I don't think we need to do this right now. And he is, well, if I don't do it now, what am I going to do it?
Right.
Yeah.
But it gets done eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but now, okay, you got that running.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter ain't got a truck yet.
So, come to find out, I actually found this truck, too.
So you found another. Now, what is it with trucks? You don't want a vehicle?
So my daughter has always said that... If she could have it her way, she wants an old truck. That is what she wanted for her first vehicle. It wasn't, I want a, you know, Toyota Camry or a Corolla. It was, I want an old truck. So that's what we searched for. And we came across one, I think it was in Pilot Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we drove to Pilot Mountain. Well, we saw them. A lot of trucks.
Yeah, we.
Well, there are a lot of trucks out there.
Yeah, so we looked at a few, and this truck that we found, we just kind of both fell in love with.
Now, who, you and your daughter, or you and Jeremy?
Jeremy and I. She didn't know about it.
Oh, she. This was a surprise.
We surprised her with this
truck. I got you. Cool.
Yeah. So
when you say, "Oh, let me get give me a description here."
So, is it a 77?
77.
Yeah. Cool. So
good year.
GMC.
GMC. C15. Sierra.
And it was Hawaiian blue.
Yeah.
Beautiful truck. It obviously needed quite a bit of work.
Yeah. 72. Yeah, that's a pretty old truck.
77.
77.
So we bought the truck. We hid it at my brother's house, which is, he lives about 7 minutes down the street, for a couple months.
Yeah.
And then one day we just pulled it in the driveway and brought her outside and told her happy birthday.
So you saved it for her birthday?
Yeah.
How old is she now?
She'll be 17 next month.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you got a 17-year-old daughter now with a truck.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, is it? Are you working on that one?
Yeah.
So she. I did a few.
That's
things.
An automatic too.
No, that is. Yes. Yep. It's an automatic.
So you found an automatic.
Yes.
Okay. And she's got her driver's license.
She does.
It's a question. You know. Cause,
yep.
Okay.
She
cool.
does.
Yeah. And she's. Well,
on that note, did she when she turned 16? Just out of curiosity, did she was she excited about getting her driver's license?
Oh yeah, the countdown was on.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Well, that's not with every child these days.
No. What she has told us, you know, there are a lot of her friends that don't have a driver's license, and she's basically said they don't care to get one, and she doesn't understand it. She said that's freedom. Freedom.
That's independence and freedom.
Yeah.
That's why I can't understand these kids not getting drunk. And somebody, well, we had this conversation yesterday at the apprenticeship. We were talking about kids and not. Why you need a driver's license? You got Uber, you got Lyft, you got your mom, you got your dad, you got... And everybody, I don't have to drive because somebody's going to drive me or got the bus or whatever. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
No.
I really don't.
Man, I couldn't wait.
Neither.
That's how she was.
Second day after I was 16, I was at DMV, man. I was ready to go. Let's drive a car. Shoot. I was driving at 12, though. See?
Yeah.
I learned how to drive a stick shift at 12 years old. I went to visit my cousin up in Maryland for a summer, 2 weeks. He says, "Can you drive?" I says, "No." He says, "Well, you will." And we did. And I learned on a 48 Chevy, sticks three on the column, and a Volkswagen in the floor, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't have an automatic learn on. I had to learn on those two vehicles. So, and it was great, but I was very fortunate. Because not everybody has that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we're going to take a break here, come back and finish the truck story because there is more, you know. Great story. Appreciate y'all sharing it, too, because this is awesome on what it's done for your kids. The impact is far-reaching.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. They'll never, ever outlive it. All right, we're going to take a break here about your house right here on Fox Sports Charlotte. Tune in. Turn on and come on back. We'll be here. All right, welcome back. Okay, we're talking about childhood memories here. Caitlin and Jeremy Johnson, well, we're talking about your two kids, actually. That's kind of where I'm at here. You got a 17-year-old daughter, got a truck now. She's had it less than, right under a year, more than a year.
Yep.
Is she driving it?
Yes.
I know that's a crazy question.
So she was driving it. She drove it everywhere.
To school. Yeah.
Friends,
mm-hmm.
store, wherever. She wanted to make some changes.
Oh, she didn't like it. I mean, she didn't like it. She wanted to do some improvements.
Yes.
Like your husband did to the other one.
Yes. Yeah.
Your daughter now says, "I won't."
Yes.
Okay. Keep talking.
I mean, I don't know what's
okay,
been
so,
done to it internally.
So internally, we put a new...
What didn't she like about it?
Well, it was just old. And,
okay.
You know, the body was the original paint.
I hear
some
you.
Some dents, some rusts. The interior was torn up.
Okay.
You know, so...
That was like one of the first things we did.
Yeah.
We fixed the interior.
Just aesthetically make it more pleasing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The interior, we tried to make it nicer for. Just, you know, because it's... It was old, and
I hear you.
So,
yeah.
So one of the first things we did was, I pulled everything out of the inside.
Did she help?
She helped a little bit, yeah.
Good.
at this point, it was more, you know, just lots of weekend work. And I think at this time, she was working. So I think she would, take
my car,
her car to work. I'd work on the truck. And
did your son help on her truck?
Yeah.
Good.
He helped later on. But yeah, I started with the interior, just ripped it all out. Turned out had to cut out some of the floor, some of the rockers on both sides, some of the floor, and weld new metal in. And
you got a welder?
Yes.
Bingo. Your son welds too, doesn't he?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's
so,
awesome.
So does she.
That's so does she.
I mean,
I didn't even ask.
She's tinkered with it.
She's tinkered, yeah. Yeah. She's,
that's great.
She, mm-hmm. I've taught her how to, and you know, she knows the concept, and she has welded before. She's welded before.
Yep.
Well, we're going to talk about Caitlin in a minute.
So welding is like...
You've been around him. How long y'all been married now?
We just got done celebrating our 10-year anniversary.
10 years.
Mm-hmm.
10 years you've been married to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's really industrious.
Yes.
Would you say that?
Oh, yeah.
He fixed things, right?
Big time, yep.
Around the house, whatever. He's Mr. Handyman?
Yes.
How about you?
Kind of.
You're not afraid?
No. I mean, pretty much every house we've lived in, we've remodeled.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't think we've ever called anybody to have anything done on our house.
One time.
What?
Well, and that's
AC.
That's another point to the conversation. When you learn how to do things, it's almost like you hardly ever have to write a check for a service company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you do, you say, God, this is horrible. You know, like cutting a tree down. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine calling somebody to cut your tree down? That means, why would you do that?
We cut a tree down our first house in the backyard.
That wasn't the smartest thing in the world.
No, but we got it down.
Yes. Yeah.
An experience to behold.
Mm-hmm.
So, long story short.
Your brother, wasn't it?
Yeah, my brother. We ended up tying the tree to my brother's Jeep bumper.
Yeah, it was just.
And he pulled the rest of it down and.
Pulled the bumper off his truck.
No. It went really surprisingly well.
But it was. So. In the moment, like seeing it was
right.
Like, what are these two idiots doing?
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Believe me. My brother and I, we were cutting a tree down. Well, it was his tree, his job.
Yeah.
He just wanted me to come help him. And I looked at the tree, and I'm pretty good, got a real good eye for distances, okay? Always have, you know. And I told him, I said, you going to fall that tree? I says, tree's going to hit that line. It's going to pull the service mast off, panel mast. He says, no, it's not. I said, yeah, it is. And I said, it's me against you, big guy. It's your job. I'm just telling you, it's going to hit that line, and you know what it's going to do to that mast.
Mm-hmm.
And now who are you going to be calling? You're going to be calling the big guy, my father, over here to fix it. He says, well, we're fine. It's going to clear. It didn't clear. Mm. And everything I told him. Now, I don't want to be right, okay? That's not the point here. But it pulled off, and it was like, you know, that I says, told you. And sure enough, he had to call Dad, and Dad came over, and we all jumped on it and fixed it together.
Yeah.
Even though it was, you know, a service feed, we still had to fix it, you know. But anyway, so I understand the calamity, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, that happens, no doubt about it. But, back to the trucks, because we're a year into this now. Where's the truck, your daughter's truck, right now?
So right now it's currently getting a paint job.
Oh, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
What color did she pick?
Black.
The house of black trucks, except yours is white.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, my truck's white.
You got a Tundra out there,
yeah.
Right? That's not a Cummy truck, is it?
Both.
Okay,
yeah,
I got
both. I use it for... company use, but it's also personal.
I hear you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's getting painted now.
It is.
So we're almost home down. Is got new interior yet?
Oh, yeah. That's been done.
Okay. So it's got a new interior.
The next after the paint job is an engine swap.
So you're going to put, what are you going to put in that one?
Same. So it's got a 350 in it.
Oh, it does have 350.
I'm just going to pull it out put a new 350 in. Nothing crazy, just a tame 350.
A crate.
Stock.
Great.
Yeah.
Great engine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just so it's more reliable.
Gotcha.
And then the 350, that her original 350, I'm probably going to build back to stock just as a
backup.
Backup.
Because you got two trucks, now that sucker will fit in.
Yep.
Cool.
So with no changes, it will fit in both with no changes.
What do you drive, Kaylin?
I just drive a Hyundai Sonata.
I got you.
Yep.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the kids are happy with their vehicles.
Yeah.
I think it's admirable what you did. You bought older vehicles. What I love about this is you've taught your kids tools and the ability and raised their self-confidence level. All these things are what I'm talking about. It has nothing to do with really the tools. It has everything to do with the mental health issue.
So she wanted it painted. And we told her, you're going to have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And she met me at...
You're going to make me draw a blank now.
Yeah.
Mako.
So she met me at Mako. Did I drive the truck?
I don't know.
She
drove it there.
We went to Mako. And Mako said, it's going to cost you whatever. It was like
$1,300.
$1,300 mm-hmm. without doing any body work whatsoever. So I gave her the option. I said.
And they said they would not warranty
the
paint.
Because it's so old.
Right.
And so I gave her two options. I said, you let them do it, and it's black as it sits, the dents, the rust, whatever. I said, or we take it home and
do the body work.
We do the body work. So she said, let's take it home. So
did she help?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's helped quite a bit on sanding, and she knows how now she knows how to mix body filler, all that stuff. She can do it. Yep.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She can sand. She helped sand a lot of it. Excuse me. She did a lot of the body filler, applying the body filler, sanding the body filler, and so that's where it sits now. It's in the driveway. It's
almost done.
Yep.
Almost ready to take to Mako.
No.
Oh,
he painted it.
Y'all were gonna paint it.
He already did.
Yeah.
Now he's getting ready to put the spray bed liner in.
So y'all took it home to fix the body, and then one day you says, oh, let's paint it ourselves.
Yep.
Yeah.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd your daughter say? Okay.
Yep. She loves it.
That's great. That's awesome.
So it turned out really, really nice. There's a couple spots of overspray.
Sure.
So I'm gonna break it down and do another coat just to finish it off. And the last thing is I'm doing right now is the spray and bed liner. So, and that's 3/4 of the way done.
So you're almost done.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of wheels you put on it?
We haven't changed those yet.
No new wheels?
No, that's, she eventually wants to, but I told her.
She wants
the
lift.
The CFO
bank
says not now.
Is
bank
cut account. Off. You pay for it.
Yeah.
You
get anything you want, dear.
Yeah.
Yep. You just work for it.
Well, that's great. That's
Let's do it. Just not. Don't tell mom.
Yeah, dad is. We'll pay for it. It's fine.
And she's got to pay for it. And it's like, yep, you're right. She's got to learn the responsibility. So. She's paying for the engine swap.
She is.
She is.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
What's she doing, working wise?
Well, she was working. She's not currently.
Okay, that's cool.
She starts school next
month.
Well,
I got more questions about, what's your daughter's name?
Skylar.
Skylar. Love that name. It's beautiful. Skylar. Well, we'll come back, folks, after top of the hour and hear more about Skylar. She's 17. I want to know about what happens when she's 18 and graduates from school. Got any projections? We'll find out when we get back.
You awake yet? Hour 2, Jeremy and Caitlin Johnson of Star Electric will continue the conversation with Ray on electrical and the many trades. About Your House is brought to you by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina, from the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two. Got Caitlin and Jeremy Johnson in the house. We're just talking personal family stuff here, but there's a tremendous point behind it for me, and that's the ability to teach your kids to be self-sufficient and, you know, not afraid to attempt things. And I bet they don't ask to do a lot of things. And what I mean by to do a lot of things, I mean they take the liberty to take on a job themselves, more so than some kids that have to go ask. I know of kids that can't mow their grass. They want to mow grass, but their parents won't let them mow the grass because they might get hurt. I bet your son mows grass, doesn't he?
He can.
Who mows the grass?
Me.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your daughter ever mowed the grass?
No.
No.
She won't do it?
No.
No.
Caitlin says, so, no.
No.
She's helped with yard work. I mean, she helped
build a fence.
I'm just questioning, you know.
Yeah.
But
no, she doesn't really have a desire to want to go out there and mow that grass.
So she is 100% college. She wants to be in nursing. So that's kind of how we let her go that way.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I wanted to ask a question.
My son is.
But she wants to be a nurse.
Yes. Yeah.
Good luck. No, not that nursing's bad occupation. I love nurses,
good,
like
yeah.
teachers. Nurses are, it's just a system.
And you have to deal with people.
Well, it's not, it's the system that you got to deal with, and then people around the system.
Yeah.
Well, I've talked to so many, well, that's a whole different show, and we'll get into that later, but she wants to be a nurse. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's a giving profession and very nurturing profession, and it's beautiful. Yeah, nursing is unbelievable. I love the medical arena for the helping and giving aspect of it. Okay, what, as your son looking ahead, what's he thinking?
He's more the hands-on.
Excuse me.
He doesn't really ask to do stuff. He just does it.
That was my point.
Yeah, I mean,
you just take the initiative and go do it.
Yeah. I mean, he'll go out down to the garage, and he'll take his bike apart and put it back together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he knows how to do the brakes on his bike and change the seat height and change the handlebars. And, you know, so he does a lot of that stuff on his own.
Right.
So he's pretty competent when it comes to around the house stuff.
Sure. How old is he now?
11.
11. Cool. Great age. Great age. Well, I'm glad you got the trucks all figured out now.
Mm-hmm.
Trucks are almost done. You got that by the wayside. Now they got the vehicles they want. And your son, will he get the
C10?
Yes. Yeah.
That's his truck.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he knows that.
Yep.
Yes. At 11. Is he driving it yet?
No.
When are you going to teach him to drive it?
Because
he can't drive.
Probably soon.
I think he could drive a stick shift just fine, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure he can.
I don't know if...
Maybe can't yet, but he will.
I don't know if we should give him the truck with the current engine. I built the engine.
It's too much engine.
Yeah. And
well, but
if he's anything like me,
we're going to hear him squealing down the street.
Sure you are.
So
that's part of growing up.
Yeah. So, but
you know what I drove in my senior year of high school?
What?
I was very blessed, very fortunate. It was a 69, brand new 69 Dodge Charger. RT, special edition.
Wow.
You still got that?
Lord, no. It was bought for my wife, my girlfriend at the time. Her mother bought it for her because of her senior year of high school. And it was the nicest, most beautiful, but I thought it was the nicest, prettiest car in the parking lot. And at 440, 375. It was a Chevelle and GTO eater, and it got me 7 tickets, my license revoked. You know, I remember graduating from high school in Ovens Auditorium, It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was had her in the driver passenger seat, and I hit Independence. I stopped because I was so happy. I put that baby in first gear, and I just plowed that pavement. And I said, I never have to go back to another classroom the rest of my life. I am so happy. I was so happy to be graduated from school. And I went to work 2 o'clock that afternoon on my to my job, and I've never looked back. But peeling rubber, and I mean, there were so Independence one day used to be like a Friday evening, and I know a lot of people that might be listening to me now remember those days where Independence Boulevard was basically a drag strip. And like I said, I got a lot of tickets, got my license revoked twice, and I don't regret doing all this stuff because that's where we learn. Like your son, you say, yeah. In a pickup truck peeling rubber, you can do that with an engine that's not built.
Yeah.
So you built it, but he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Well,
he'll be fine.
He can drive, so that's not the question. He can drive. I just, you know.
You just got concerns.
I know how I was. He has a need for speed.
Yes.
And, I mean.
He wants to go. But he's a little boy.
I know.
Does he have a motorcycle?
Yes. Oh, he has a dirt bike.
Ah, there you go.
Side by side.
And you're worried about the truck? Good Lord of mercy. Got a dirt bike and you're worried about a pickup truck. I think we're being a little too worry-worked there, you know. But that's just me. But if you got a motorbike, because dirt bike, oh, man, that's crazy. And you're worried about a pickup truck, and he's got a dirt bike. Yeah, how many times you gone out with him and watched him on the dirt bike, Mom?
I mean, quite a bit, but I also grew up riding them. So
okay, so that, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me with him on those. I mean, he crashes.
So you were
it.
Kind of a tomboy girl growing up.
A little bit.
Yep.
Half and half.
Well, yeah. You were exposed. You got any siblings?
Yes.
What are they?
I have three brothers and one sister.
Three brothers and one sister. Mm-hmm. That's five kids?
Five kids.
Y'all are a very active family.
Yes.
Raised in the country, kind of.
Yeah. We are actually, I mean, we bounced back my whole life from Michigan to Minnesota, but in Minnesota, I think we lived on 14 acres. So.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Where y'all live in a subdivision or on land now?
Well, half and half.
Yeah.
Kind of half and half.
Yeah. We live in an old
subdivision.
Subdivision.
But
big lots.
Big lots, yeah.
Big lots, like an acre and a half, something like that.
Two acres.
Yeah, that's good. Good lot.
No HOA.
Which we like.
Yes.
What's that?
The Homeowners Association.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's horrible. But big city life.
Yeah, we lived in.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad that I appreciate you sharing the stories about your kids and an update on the trucks.
Yeah.
It's neat. And I love hearing about kids growing up, kids growing up in, you know, family. And I applaud both of y'all for being two parents together, because one of the largest problems in the country today are single moms raising kids, unfortunately, because men are absent. And it's a major, major, major problem in our country, because men are going kind of by the wayside. And it's horrible, but we'll leave that for another day. Well, we talk about it. I talk about it a lot on this show because it's problematic. We need more male role models and more mentors. But I'm going to switch gears here and go, you know, back to you're an electrician.
Yes.
You're out there in the world. I'm going to go back. How'd you become an electrician? Can you share that story?
Yeah.
So you're 40. How old?
43.
43 years old. How old are you, Caitlin?
37.
I got you. I knew you were younger than him.
Because
you're prettier than he is.
Thank you.
You're 44. Okay. And how long have you been in the electrical industry?
24 years.
Sound like to me right out of high school, basically.
Yeah. Kinda. When I turned 19, I got a job doing residential, and been there ever since. Not residential, but been in the electrical industry ever since.
Right. Well, you know, at the apprenticeship competition yesterday, I told you I paid more attention.
Mm-hmm.
And those vignettes, I call them vignettes, there were 17 applicants, 17 competitors in the and the ages probably went from around
20 to 20 to 30.
20 to 30, yeah. Roughly. Yeah.
Yeah,
And it was amazing. Well, you know what I found yesterday was in those vignettes in the competitive arena, every aspect of electrical was there except for the high voltage infrastructure stuff. Every bit of it. You had EMT, mm-hmm. you had EMC, you had single pole, three-way, four-way, and how it was tied together. You had plastic conduit. You had wire mold conduit. Every aspect of the electrical industry was in that vignette. I didn't realize that until yesterday when I looked at the print. And then I went and looked at it after Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Connor finished his. I went and looked at his thing yesterday because he finished early.
Yeah.
So I went and looked at the vignette, and I was kind of blown away with all the intricacies in the electrical trades were right, every one of them. You know, we're there.
Yeah.
So I picked up the phone, called Mr. Kevin Tice, and said, I want one of those. And he says, you want one of what? At first, I said, a blueprint for that. Well, they're copyrighted under Star.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. I honor that. You know, and I said, okay, I understand. He said, what do you want with it? And I told him, I said, as an example, what do you mean? And, you know, but then I said, better yet, we were texting, and then I turned around and said, I got to talk to you. So I picked the phone, called him, and I said, I want one of the top two places, vignette. I want the whole thing.
You want the finished product.
I want the whole thing. That is absolutely perfect learning exhibit. It's a great teacher, because if we take that to a school and stand that vignette up,
mm-hmm.
separate it a little bit, tied together, whatever we got to do.
Yeah.
Every example of the electrical trade is right there. Every one of them. Which is, and we could even make it hot to some degree and put some hot circuitry in it. And that's, I never realized how incredible it was until I really brainstormed it, saw it yesterday, and says, darn. And Kevin said, I'll check on it and get back to you and let you know. But wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Because everything's there.
Yep.
That four-way is what triggered it, though. When I see a four-way and two other three-ways, I said, oh, I got to watch this. And if you're an electrician, there ain't many electricians, and you can wire four-ways with three-ways. It takes a brain to do that because so, I've done it. It can get tricky. But once you get it,
yeah.
Once you get it, you got it.
In my travels, that is the one thing that trips up most people, most electricians, was the three-way and the four-way.
Right.
That's the one thing that...
Mind-blowing.
Yeah. Like, how does it work? How do you... You know, they don't get it.
I know. I know. The hot goes through. It's that simple. You're two travelers or you're four-way.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta you carry your hot through, right?
Yeah. It's just...
You know, but I had a... I wired an addition one time over on Randolph Road, never forget it. And Terry Green, electrician, he was doing my electrical work when he could, okay? Well, I went over and roughed it because he was tied up. And I told him, I said, Terry, I'm going to go over there and rough this thing in. He knows me, and he knew that I could. And then it had a four-way and a three-way. You know, of course, typically a four-way is in tandem with three-ways, you know. And we finished it, so everything's, you know, buttoned up. You just got wires.
Yeah,
they couldn't figure it out. And I says, well, you mean I gotta get down, I gotta quit what I'm doing, come over and teach electricians how to run a circuit? He said, well, I can't get it, I can't figure it out. So I went over there in about 5 or 10 minutes and showed him. You know, he said, I never saw it done that way. I says, well, am I wrong or right? Is it okay? He, no, it's fine, I've just never seen it done the way you did it, because there's more than one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And my father, thank you, Dad, God rest your soul, he taught me about three ways. But I didn't get it until about a year after he taught me. And I was doing it at a stairway. You know how you go in houses all the time, the three ways are backwards?
Yeah.
And you say, well, the hot's messed up, you know. Well, it's like my daddy was down there slapping me and saying, you got it yet? And it's like, oh, I got it. I see what he's talking about now. I get it. And ever since then, I've had it. I got it. So, but it is something. But everything is on that display or vignette. Everything.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk more electrical. More stuff when we get back. More about your house, a little bit more about Put Tools in Schools and what's coming up. Got our first gig on the calendar, on the new event calendar on the PutToolsInSchools.org website. You can go on it and check it out. And keep up with us this year because we're going to have an events calendar and all the events, including the guest on About Your House Radio, will be on that events calendar. We're getting there. Takes time. Takes a village. And that's what the holdup is. We got to get it all together. Come on back. We'll talk about it. All right. Welcome back to About Your House. Before the break, we're talking about, well, tools, stuff, all kinds of groovy things. I want to talk about a gig we just got and, you know, and spread the word, because that's what we do. We spread the word. There's a group called Center360.org. It's a nonprofit. It's connected to education, and they have a program here in Charlotte, Center360.org, where they have an afternoon program for kids, you know, after school. Call it a glorified babysitting service. Call it what you want, but it's a group of 20 to 30 kids. Middle school kids at Francis Bradley is where we've got the thing. Every Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to show up, set up, and engage 20 to 30 kids with the trades, construction trades activities, or trades activities, and for up until 6:30 in the evening. Now, I know that's late in the day, but that's okay. Now, what are we going to do? I don't know. What are we going to do? We're going to expose the kids to hands-on engagement of various trades: plumbing, electrical, carpentry, automotive, mechanical, various things, HVAC, many things. Now, how are we going to pull that off? We need, Put Tools in Schools need volunteers with industry to come. Get on the calendar, look at what day you want to show up. You show up, and we can use two companies each day because we got 30 kids. 30 kids are a lot of kids to control with that kind of environment, so more the merrier as far as the industry goes. And we can actively engage these kids and raise their awareness. The best age for any child to really make a lasting impression is middle school, adolescent. And then once we do this and do it and do it and get into middle schools with trades career days and engage the kids there, and we've kind of changed the format a little bit. What's the format? Whatever we need it to be. We're gonna change it up and be whatever we can be, whatever we need to be to address kids and raise the awareness of opportunities for their career pathways. That's all this is about. Just to throw a bit of reality, real life into the mix, because what we've been teaching our kids for the last mid-70s it all started, is you've got to go to college to be successful. And if you're not, you're not going to be worth anything. Now that sounds like crazy, but that's what you hear from the kids. Jeremy, you've been all across the state. Comment a little bit about that. What do you see in these kids? Because that's why you came on today to make these statements, because you've seen more across the board. And, you know, I've been doing Put Tools in Schools and been involved with that since 2018. And I can honestly say that you're one of the few that have been as many places and addressed as many kids as you have. And you've seen thousands of kids this past year. What do you see?
To be honest, I see
kids. And you're a father. We've established that. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you here right out of the gate, but you're a father of two. See? And you can see, and I know you feel the energies in some of these kids, because I certainly do. And it's not all good.
I see a lot of kids that have no clue what their future looks like. They don't know options. And, you know, I talk to them and try to engage them and learn about, you know, what they like and, you know, what do you want to do when you get older? Well, I don't know. I guess I'm going to go to college. Well, why are you doing that? Well, my parents tell me I have to. And that's the majority of the thought process in high schools. Teachers, and not all teachers, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with teachers, but a lot of teachers push college. And that's great. I think the disconnect in schools is there's more attention drawn to college. There's more people pushing the students to go to college, and there's not enough people pushing hands-on stuff like trades. You know, when I was in school, I hated school. I couldn't sit there and learn. I wanted hands-on stuff. And, you know, that ended up causing me to drop out. And, you know, I'm thankful for, you know, where I've made it to. But I had to be hands-on. There was no question in my mind. I was never going to college. I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to build stuff. I wanted to do stuff with my hands. And kids don't know that. They don't have any options. They're not aware of their options. Let me rephrase. They're not aware of their options.
They're not aware. That's what raising the awareness is all about.
Yeah, and they automatically think they have to go to college. For one, to be successful. For two, to make money. And that's always the answer. And that's far from
reality.
Yeah, far from it. So it's... I try to talk to as many students as I can and just bring awareness. You know, I let them know that there's other things besides college. Ultimately, it's your decision. I'm gonna tell you my experience. I'm gonna explain and as best I can what a trades career looks like to the average person, and then when it's all said and done, you decide what you want to do. There's nothing wrong with going to college.
No, there's nothing wrong at all. I think it's a great thing, except I'll give you a story that happened to me this week. I went to a NARI meeting, and the bartender, was a young man. His name was Jed, I think, and he was the son of the owner of the business. And he impressed me because he looked like a sharp kid, and we talked. You know me, I got to talk to kids, you know. So I asked him, I said, "Jip, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I work here some." And I said, "Wow, that's awesome. I guess you know what, we were at Kaufman and Company. Mm-hmm. You know about them? The wood, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, I said, "What are you going to do? What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm in college." I said, "Oh, what are you going to college for?" He says, "Not sure." I says, "Oh, you're going to college because you were told you're going to college." He says, "Pretty much, you know." And that's the profile. Like you said, that's the profile. And he says, "I'm having a good time." I said, "Partying good?" He said, "Oh, yeah." You know, and we talked a little bit about that. But he even said he wasn't sure what he wanted to do. But I can tell you where he's going to wind up. He's going to wind up right back where he's standing, back in his father's business, which there's nothing wrong with that. Yesterday, I'll share this too, over at S&S Catering, over on Norton Road. What'd you see there yesterday? You saw three generations standing right there giving the service of catering mm-hmm. to all that crowd. You had the daddy, you had his son, and then you had the grandson, all three working to serve us yesterday. How often do we see that anymore?
Never.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I'm talking about, you know. Now, I don't, you know, it's like your son possibly being an electrician. Not that he wants to be or won't be or whatever. But to have, I mean, my son kind of walked in my footsteps, and he can do anything that I can do, you know. And I'm honored with that. I just wish we could do it together. We're estranged right now because, just because. He's a spoiled brat. hate it, but I can't do anything about that. You know, it just doing things creates, it's empowering. It empowers you to do things without fear. You feel a lot of fear with these kids, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just there.
They just...
Frustrating, isn't it?
It is frustrating. And forgive me for saying this. If anybody can get mad at me, it's...
Oh, it's an angry thing. An angry topic.
They don't know how to think for themselves.
That's right.
Eventually, they're going to learn, but it'd be really nice if they could think for themselves at an earlier age, so they can decide what their future can be for themselves.
Right.
You know. So instead of them finding out their passion and what they want to do and, you know, whatever, when they're 25 or 30, they can find out a lot sooner. And they can enjoy and create their career and create their path a lot sooner.
Here's what we're seeing. Listen, I'm just telling you what is. You can be ill with me, angry with me, tell me I'm crazy and I have no business talking about this. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. Because, you know, there's a lot of parents out there that think they know best for their kids. I applaud you for wanting, loving your kids, wanting to care for your kids. And there are mothers and fathers out there saying, well, that's not my child. That's not my child. Right here on this program, we've interviewed how many people, countless people that are 30, 40, and even as far as 50, got out of school, were told they had to go to college, went to college, got a degree, and that degree went by the wayside. Literally went by the wayside. But the debt they incurred marches on. Did you go to college, Caitlin?
No.
But what do you do, Caitlin?
Payroll.
How long have you been doing payroll?
8 years.
Pretty good at it, too, aren't you?
Yeah.
The best.
But see, you didn't go to college to do that.
No.
You a happy girl?
Yeah.
You like doing what you do?
At times.
At times?
Yeah. It's stressful.
Yeah. Well, a bean counter.
Huh?
Bean counter.
Yeah.
You know. But you didn't go to college to get there.
No.
And do you have any regrets on that?
No.
Cool. You got no debt either, do you?
No.
You don't either, do you, Jeremy?
There's no college debt, honey.
Taking aside the trucks, no, we're good.
Well, the trucks, I mean, that's a way of life.
That's no, there's no debt. No.
There's no debt associated with...
No.
You know, but on this program, seriously, week after week after week, I hear the stories. Mm-hmm. They tell it, not me. You know, so if we could get across that little gap there between 18 years old and 30, we could excel tremendously, couldn't we?
Absolutely.
Because we got a whole two or three generations that are completely lost between 18 and 30. Because they've been told what to do.
And you know the sad thing?
Many things.
Yeah. But so I've learned this over the last 3-4 years. So many of these kids are going to college and they're getting into, you know, career fields that are so saturated with people, they can't find a job.
Right.
But they're still being told to go do this.
I know.
And they get out, they graduate, and they look for a job. And most college kids will take whatever offer is made, regardless if it's in their wheelhouse or completely out of their wheelhouse. They will take that offer no matter what, because they're struggling so bad.
They need money.
Yeah.
Then what happens, and this is what happens all the time, I say all the time, the vast majority of the time, they wind up chasing money, not a job. That is sad to me. I just asked Caitlin here, you like your job? She said, for the most part. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
A lot of people hate their job. They go to work every day for the paycheck. Why is that happening? Because we live in a capitalist society and a greedy bunch of people, and with money, 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 we're all chasing money. I'm no different. I chase it. But I don't chase the money. I go after what I'm the opportunities.
Money is the necessary evil.
It is.
But
it's more of a struggle today. I have to say this, and I'll say it every week on this program because it's bad. On the way here today, I saw 10 homeless people on the side of the road, 10. That's appalling.
Yeah.
I don't live but 8 miles from here. So it's more of a struggle to live and exist today in this country than ever before. Never been like it is right now. It's hard. It's a struggle for people who had a hard time 4 years ago are really having a hard time right now. We don't hear about it because it's so vast. But it's a reality. And part of what we're talking about here and opportunities, the opportunities we're talking about will pay you more money, if we're going to talk about chasing money, than respectively any other job, unless you're going to be a doctor, lawyer, or somebody in those type of fields. And then it takes you years to get there once you get your degree.
Lots more schooling.
Yeah. Yeah.
7 years, 8 years.
But when you go into the trades, you're going to make money immediately. And you know what? If you like it, that's the key up component, you're going to make good money real fast. You will.
And you know the best thing about the trades? We teach you for free.
Yeah. The education's free. The opportunities are plentiful. And you can go to work immediately.
Make money day one, learn day one.
I recommended this young man I told you about, 40, to one of our guests here on the show because I felt like it was a good fit. This young man with his background and his abilities, his intellect, his personality, you're going to be a great fit for this guy. And so I recommended that this business owner, and I'll tell you who it is, it's Dwell Inc., Todd Chedister. He was on the show two, three weeks back. Great concept, great business plan, but he needs good people, like we all do, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, this man, I believe, would make a great, well, after talking to this young man about the job opportunity, he said, man, that sounds just like what I would love. I said, I felt like you would, you know, be interested. So he went out this week and shadowed. Loved it. Here we go. Loved it. And he said, man, I can go out and think. I can talk to people. I can interact and be. And he said, and I'm going to get the money I need to do it. You will right now. And this is what parents need to know. What do you want your kid to be? What you want him to be or what he wants to be? Or she? You know, it's the same. What do they want to do? Well, they don't know. So if they don't know, you're going to take the liberty to tell them what they want to do? That's what you hear a lot, though, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Yep. I don't. So I want my kids to be successful.
What is success,
she
though?
Does as well.
What is success? What does that
happiness.
Word mean today? Thank you.
Happiness.
It's happiness.
Opportunity.
Exactly.
Helping. Support.
Serve.
Yeah.
That's have all. Purpose. You know, but we're not teaching that in school. We're not teaching that in school. We're teaching college in school. That's what that's what you're seeing across the board. They're teaching to go to college so you can be successful. Because if you don't go to college, you're not going to be a success. And here's something else that's happening. And it hadn't changed yet. And I bring those things up today because I brought Jeremy on the show. And I know we're focusing a lot. And a lot of people said, I ain't listening to this crap. You better listen to it. You better listen to it. Because it's getting bad. It's beyond bad out there. For you as a homeowner, calling a company to come out, you're going to pay for them. But don't you want to get what you pay for? In this day and time, that's tough. I go to houses all the time now where I'm the third, fourth, fifth person there. Why am I the fourth or fifth person? Because the other people couldn't do it. Now, I ain't bragging. I don't understand it. But this is what we're confronting today as homeowners and business owners. And, you know, the infrastructure has to be fixed. When you go in a room and the light, you turn on a light and the light don't work, what are you going to do? Who are you going to call? And your plumbing backs up and you got sewage all over the floor, and who are you going to call?
Tradespeople.
You're going to call the tradespeople. And they say AI is going to take jobs. No, it's not. No, it's not. You cannot replace the human element when it comes to certain things in our life.
You can. It's going to help us.
I think it's going to hinder us. That's my thought. You know why? You know what I think the hindrance is going to be? What do people do now when they don't know something?
They Google it.
Thank you. Now you don't even have to think about writing a paragraph.
Uh-huh.
AI will do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now you talk about adding stupid to the equation. Now you don't have to think. They don't have to think now unless they get active with their hands and their mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to YouTube University, right? Well, you laugh, but I really think about this because the more you talk to people, and even as I speak here on the show on About Your House, YouTube is a lifesaver. You ever go to YouTube on your trucks? Of course you did.
Absolutely.
You betcha. So AI. Now we've got AI to think for us, to write for us. We're being dumbed down by technology incredibly every day. People don't even have to think. And I watch my friends, grown-up people my age, can't do certain things without relying on this stupid smartphone, and only because they got spoiled and can.
And you know what that's causing? That's causing the next generation to say or to think, yeah, I don't really need to know. I don't really need to know that. I can just look it up, or I don't need to know it. I can have something else do it for me. That's what's going to...
Codependency.
That's crippling.
Actually, we've been crippling our kids ever since the mid-70s on codependency. There's an overriding thing to all this. All we're talking about is codependency, right? They got to ask somebody everything they do now, right?
Yeah.
Because they're afraid they got to ask or they got to go to this. They can't think for themselves. 704-227-8986, phone number if you want to call and join in. Let's talk. Got Caitlin and Jeremy, or Jeremy and Caitlin, however you want to say it.
Caitlin and Jeremy sounds better. Caitlin.
Yeah, I thought so too. They're in. We're going to talk about more put tools in schools, what we need to help our kids, because this we're really focusing hard on kids today and our students and the youth of today and what we can do to help them have a happier, more productive, more purpose-filled, happier life. Pretty much says it right there. We'll be back. All right, welcome back. I'm going to give away a meal ticket to McCoy's Smokehouse and Saloon at the corner of Woodlawn and Old Pineville Road. Great food. Eat there about at least once a week. Love it. They've got a Thursday special every Thursday. Call it the kitchen special. You can check the menu, call them, see what's up every Thursday. And every Sunday, they're open now. Every Sunday, that's McCoy's Smokehouse and Saloon. Great barbecue. Great wings. Great food. Awesome. Okay. There's a lot of electricians out there, I know, but I'm looking for an answer here. We talked about a four-way switch. Four-way switch. I could ask two questions. How many screws are on a four-way switch? But I won't. But I'm asking, when do you use a four-way switch? When is a four-way switch used in a house or electrical scenario? When? Fair question, isn't it, Jeremy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Very fair question.
Yep.
When is a four-way switch utilized in your house, in a building? It doesn't matter. They all use the same way. 704-227-8986. 704-227-8986. When is the four-way switch used in electrical? When? That's 704-227-8986. And for a bonus, how many screws are on the switch? How many colors are on the screws? But there again, see all these things you got to know, but once you know it, you know it. That's 704-227-8986, meal ticket,
and there
McCoy's.
Could be, and there could be a very specific answer for that question.
Yeah, but it's an easy question.
Yeah.
Once you do it, it's a four-way switch. I said, what's a four-way switch mean? I've had people in construction say, four-way switch, what's that? Contractors. You know, another thing we talked about yesterday, yeah, this is an idea. All right, we had an apprenticeship competition in the electrical trade. To get an electrical contractor's license, which I want to talk about a little bit at this time, to get an electrical contractor's license, you have to work in the field for 4 years, right? Or with a company, 4 years.
Yeah, so different levels, but essentially, yes.
Yep.
There's different levels.
And then you've got to go take an exam, pass the exam. It's pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I had the honor yesterday of sitting down with Tim Norman, who is the executive director of North Carolina State Electrical Examiners Department.
Board of Electrical Contractors of North Carolina.
Yeah, yep. Board of the Electrical Contractors. And right now, currently, well, let me go back in time. In 2000 to 2014, there was 12,835 electrical contractors in the state of North Carolina.
How many?
Licensed. 12,835 in 2013, 2014. All right, it went down to a low in 2016, 2017, about 200 less, 12,626. Now, let's fast forward. It steadily rose in the state of North Carolina. Till today, we have 13,732 electrical contractors in the state. Now, of those, 346... Remember, there's 13,732 electrical contractors.
Roughly 1%.
30 and younger, there's only 346 licensed electrical contractors. Below 30. 80 plus, believe it or not, there's 344 electrical contractors. Now, here's the kicker. The average age, well, let's say right now, 2,163 of those 13,000 are 61 and above. 61 and above. So you see the picture? Now, 1,970 are 58 and above. And then it goes down, down, down. Now, 25 to 26 to 30, there's 270. And there's a few 18 to 25 electrical contractors, which is very few, but they're few. And 36 to 40, there's 782 electrical contractors. So the point is, from 51 to 55, and it starts 51 to 55, the majority of our electrical contractors are over the age of 51. We're losing them. Every day they walk away, and they're not coming back. And we're not getting more in at the same rate we're getting rid of them, so to speak. And right now, currently, if my computer screen will work, there we go, a licensed age percentage, 68%, I said that earlier just in another way, 68% are 51 and above of that 13,700. That's the electrical trade. Plumbing trade is worse. The HVAC trade, I don't know. But you see what's happening, and you see why you can't get any help in your home. and you can call companies, and you're just, and you know, because we're instant gratification people now, if you don't answer your phone in a business, they're going to call another business and another business, and if you don't, they want it now. Well, now, today is not necessarily now anymore. You got to wait. You got to wait. I got a call yesterday, for an example. Somebody called me again, wants me to come change the jets in their range because they're buying an LP, excuse me, they're buying a natural gas range, and it's got to be rejetted to liquid propane because they're in the country, rural. Okay? Why me? Because they can't find anybody to do it. This is going on all the time. They're little things, but people don't do it. And then here you get into the fear factor. When I was first called to change out some jets, did I know what I was doing? I know what a jet is. I know where they go. All it takes between my knowledge and where they go is the tools and necessary empowerment to do it, right? Isn't that all that's required?
Yeah.
Can you change the jets out, Ray? Sure. You can, really? And I'm thinking in my mind, oh, dear, am I biting off more than I could chew? Well, no, I didn't, because I know what I've installed so many gas appliances I can't even tell you. So I knew what to do. I just didn't know where to do, because they're all different to some degree. But the point being, I did it. Now I got to go do it again today. But why me? Because you can't find people to do it. So, and this goes on and on and on from trade to trade to trade, you know. So, and part of the issue with this program is about your house. We want to help guide you and give you self-confidence to get on YouTube University and do this. Do whatever it is you need to be done. And a lot of people are brave enough to try to fix things. You are. And a lot of people are that grew up with tools in their house, like me. How do we get more tools in our future? How?
There's nothing I won't attempt.
I know you, because you've got that attitude. How do we encourage more young people to have that attitude? I talked to a guy this week. He called me. He'd been a listener for years. He called me up and said, Ray, I need your help. What you need? I'm putting a downdraft in a house, and I'm not sure about what I need. They bought this, and they bought this, and I'm not sure if it's going to work. Well, I said, send me the make and model number. They did, and I said, that's not going to work. Well, why? I said, where'd you get it? And they said, the orange store. I said, well, that's the first thing you did wrong. You went and bought it at the orange store. Because if you'd have bought it in an appliance store, they wouldn't have sold it to you because it will not work. It won't work. Well, why? I told him why. I got to take a break. That's not why. I'm just telling you I got to take a break. I'm going to take a break, and we'll come back. I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. Third hour coming up right here on About Your House. And we're going to talk a little bit about crawl spaces because it is next week, 1st of August. We're right in dog days of summer. The hottest part of the year is now. And I'll talk a little bit about that, as I do every Saturday, but in this heat of summer, and what you need to think about. It's hard to keep that upstairs cool right now. I know it is. Well, there's answers. We've talked about it many times. We'll talk about it some more. So come on back next hour. We'll cover it once again.
Grab another cup of coffee and join us for Hour 3's Caitlin and Jeremy Johnson of Star Electric talking electrical cars, trades, and life in general. About Your House is brought to you in part by PutToolsInSchools.org, connecting students to tools of the trades and raising awareness of the many career pathways. Also brought to you in part by Carolina Foundation Solutions, a licensed general contractor in North and South Carolina. From the hills to the coast, if you have a problem, they have a solution. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some time with us. We'll share our knowledge and provide encouragement to improve not just your home, but every aspect of life. And now, here's your host, Ray Terry.
All right, welcome back. Hour number three. Before the break, I was talking about a downdraft. I went out to a contractor. You know, he called me out and said, Ray, come out. Can you? I'd gladly pay you to come out and talk to me about this thing so I can get it right. So I go out there and tell him why his downdraft assembly will not work. And then I tell him what will. I give him three choices. You can pick one of three of these, and they'll all work, every one of them. But you got to do it this way. And I told him, you know, and then he says, well, could you possibly come out and put it in for me? I said, I can, sure. You know, but then he tells me he's got an HVAC company that came out. On the phone, he called me back out because he's asking more questions, being, you know, really getting it down. He says, Ray, I think I got my head wrapped around this now. And I talked to a young man at Loves. I'll go ahead and say the name, Loves, out of Monroe, I think it is. And he came out here, and he told me, don't worry. Don't worry. I got this. I got this. He says, you got nothing to worry about. I'll take care of this. I got it. I said, how old the technician was he? He's about 30, low 30s. I said, and he gave you that answer? You got somebody to put it in. You got your guy. Just by virtue of him saying, I got this, and was happy to say, I got this, he's got it. That's an attitude. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would agree.
That's an attitude.
Confidence.
It's confidence. And even if he messes up, he'll fix it. And you won't know it.
Which he probably wouldn't if he's that confident.
If he's that confident, I think you're fine. And here's the point to this. We've got to trust in our youth to do things. And, you know, the sad part is they're going to mess up. They're going to screw up. But how do you learn? Because you know what? They don't teach that in college. They don't teach what I just said in college.
Failure.
They don't teach that. They don't teach that in grade school. That is the biggest learning curve, learning methodology on the planet. Do it. Then you learn. Caitlin threw something out at me, too, and I got to go back on it. You know, she's a payroll person at a company. Mm-hmm. But she didn't start there.
No.
Where'd you start, Caitlin?
Cosmetology school.
What got you there? Now, you went to high school in Michigan.
Yeah. No, I actually went to
Minnesota.
High school. I went to high school in North Carolina. So
oh,
I
you
moved,
did? Yeah. Okay, so you moved here early.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Honestly, I mean, I had a kid young, and...
You had to do something.
I had to do something, and it was fast and pretty easy. And
did you like it?
I did. I mean,
do you like it now? I mean, you're not doing it.
Yeah,
I realize.
I don't do it actively. I mean, I just do everybody in the family. But
I was going to say that I knew that would pop up. So you're still cutting hair.
Oh yes.
So you learned a trade.
Mm-hmm.
That you said, well, that's not important. That is important because cosmetology is a major. Look at the money.
Yeah.
Women spend on their nails. I notice your nails are all done, see? Look at the hair women spend money on.
Yeah.
The frosting and the coloring and all this mess. See, you women spend tons of money being pretty. I like it. Although I don't like real long nails, personally, but that's a personal problem. You know what, Jeremy? He's shaking his head over here. This is something, and I gotta go here. I'm sorry, I got to. You see all these ladies, women, females, okay, long nails, long
nails.
Little secret, men don't like them. They don't like them.
No.
Now, you're Andrew Beautiful.
Thank you.
Your nails are beautiful. I mean, really. Well, I say that because they are, and I'm not defending what I just said because your nails aren't that long.
Right.
That's my point.
Yeah.
But these real long ones, my gosh, how in the world do you do it?
I couldn't do it. I mean, I still have to do my job, so.
Well, it's not even practical to have those long nails, is my point. I'm going to interview a young lady that's working down at Mint Hill Tool Rentals. She's 15. I talked about her on the show here. She got a job from Independence High School. She's got a job at Mint Hill Tool, and she's greasing equipment. She's changing oil on equipment. She loves it. This 15-year-old girl loves it. But speaking to the owner, the boss man, so to speak, he says, well, she's got these long nails and all, but she it didn't stop her. But then when I went to talk to her, three of them were missing.
Yeah.
Three of those long nails were missing. They're just not practical. However, that's the society in which we live.
Yes.
That's the culture in which we exist, coexist in today. You know, it's amazing. But back to cosmetology. So you did that until 8 years ago?
Yeah.
And then what made you get out of it, just out of curiosity?
Honestly, having young kids, working on the weekends, working nights, I mostly just cut men's hair for, I don't even know how many years, a long time.
Right.
And it was just basically working the weekends.
I hear you.
The nights with the young kids.
So it was a time issue more than anything else, having a family and all. You know, so that's, but you always got that in your back pocket.
Yeah, I mean, I still hold my license to this day, so.
You just stated it. You keep your license up.
Yes.
And not that you really need a pair of license to be a cosmetologist.
You do, actually.
You play by the rules all you want, okay? You play by them all you want.
Well,
those scissors work without a license?
Oh, yeah.
When you plug in those
clippers,
they work without a license?
Yes.
Well, your license expires. They stop.
You know what they don't work with?
What?
Without electricity.
Yep. They won't. Won't work without electricity. See, I don't have any takers on my question. When is a four-way switch used? Dinner, lunch for two. McCoy Smokehouse and Saloon, 227-8986. Come on. Give me a break here. When is a four-way switch used?
Honey, you can't answer that.
No, you can't.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm going to the bathroom.
Okay.
And then I was just going to call in.
You're going to call in? Well, I'm going to tell them before it's over with. They should know, though. But back to you, you know. But you always, and this is a point to the trades. Once you learn to work with your hands and your mind, and you just told me another reason why you are the way you are with doing things, because you have worked with tools.
Mm-hmm.
And you have worked creatively, constructively, with your imagination and creativity, right?
Yeah.
So she was, I want to bring this up. She was in the.
Closer.
She was in the Greensboro News and Record front page.
I was.
Doing what?
For cosmetology, I was, I don't even remember, but I was basically a contestant runner up, and we did a fashion show, but we utilized all recycled products. So everything I had on me was recycled.
Really? Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yep. I still got the two of the newspapers at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that was like 15 years ago.
But see, I'm asking, just curious. You're 30, late 30s. Okay.
Yep.
Here you are in just prime of your life, actually, you know. But you're not worried about a job, are you?
No.
Not at all. If you lost your job tomorrow, it really wouldn't affect you much because you'd just pick up something else and go.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't like it because transition sucks.
Yeah.
But you'd be okay.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. That right there is what I'm talking about. You're not going to worry about it. I know he isn't going to worry about it because you've got a trade.
Yeah.
You've got something to fall back on. Tell me many people that got out of college with a four-year degree that has that to fall back on. Very few. They can't even find a job in their prospective field, so how are they going to fall back on it to start with? Let me go back on it. You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
I can always go be a chemist. No, you can't. No, you can't. You know, I can always be a marine biologist. No, you can't. Get the point?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear it all the time. These kids tell me, I this ain't for me. I don't talk about it. What?
High school kids.
Yeah.
That's one of their questions. Well, what should I do? Go into the trades, work in the trades. In your off time, when you're in college and you need a job, go into the trades.
Yeah.
So when you get out of college, you actually have a skill, a talent to fall back on. I tell every single high school kid that asks me that question. Well, what do I do when I'm, you know, what kind of job do I need? Or what do I do when I'm not in college? Go into the trades.
Yeah.
And then when you get out of college and you can't find a job, you can go into the trades.
Right.
That's a good fallback.
Work it's with your hands and your mind.
In my opinion, trades is the best, one of the best options, but it's definitely high priority or a high, you know, I don't know the word I'm looking for. It's high on the list for fallback.
Absolutely. Well, it is, but it's really not the trade you're falling back on. It's your ability to work with your hands and your mind.
Yeah.
That's what the crutch here is. It's your ability to work with your hands and your mind, you know, and that is absolutely powerful because that's what's missing, that attitude to do just that. They don't know how otherwise. They're afraid. That's the problem. And now you talked about college, getting a summer job. I could talk to baby boomers, and they all know about that because most of them that went to college did it that way. But now we got parents and scholarships and grants and all the codependency methodologies. You get where I'm coming from? Where they don't have to work. They can party and have fun. And then they go home for the summer. They don't do anything. Now, I'm not saying all kids. I'm not saying that. There's a lot of kids that are very industrious, have great jobs, and are doing things, and that's wonderful. But more than not, we're raising a bunch of codependent kids. And there's your problem, codependency. And our government's doing it through our education system. Whether you like it or not, it's happening.
They're talented, but they're not multi-talented.
Right, and they could. They are innately. We're all born that way, right? We're born with the ability. Mm-hmm. And then they go to school and they take it away from you. They make you apprehensive about what you're doing, unfortunately. And look, like I said, I'm just trying to make everybody aware. We become so complacent on what we're told and what we're doing, and we watch too much TV. Wouldn't you agree to that?
Yeah.
Puppets. Yeah. Puppets. That's what we are, puppets.
There's nothing wrong with learning. There's nothing
wrong. I love it.
Multi-talented people. There's people out there that they do their job. They're in a career. They're very talented, but they also know how to do many other things. And that's I think we've lost track of that. It's, you know, a lot of people try to specialize in one thing. That's good, but what's wrong with learning other stuff? What's wrong with learning how to do other things? Nothing.
Actually, it's awesome because when you're 25 years old, like your son, for example, that kid and your daughter, both, you could ask them tons of questions and they'll figure out answers. You know, but they're taught to critical think. Building that engine with your son, he learned so much in so many ways because doing mechanical work, especially on an engine, knowing timing, knowing the firing order, knowing how to line up the cam and the timing chain and all that stuff.
Tolerances. How to read tape measures, how to read
feeler gauges, you know, all the stuff, yeah. Setting the valves and stuff.
Thousands of an inch.
Yeah.
People don't know really how small thousands of an inch is.
I know. That's powerful stuff. And all you got to do is give your kid, get him to work with his hands and his mind, and I don't care what field it is. It doesn't have to be electrical. Doesn't have to be mechanical. Doesn't have to be automotive. But, you know, talking about these afternoon classes, I want to take a, what do you think about this? Take a lawnmower, a regular old lawnmower that won't crank, and you put it up on a table, and you teach these kids basic engine knowledge. Why won't it crank? And just go through the process. We got fire. See mm-hmm. here? Got fire. Won't let them touch it because that'll shock them. Big time. You ever been bit by electricity?
Yes.
You've been shocked?
Yes.
More than once?
I think twice.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to go through the experience
it's
one time.
It's not fun.
Well, no, it's not. Being shocked is alarming.
Very.
Rather shocking, you know, especially when you're not expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
And normally that's the way it happens. But you've been shocked expecting it.
Yes.
You felt it.
Yeah.
I was reprimanded here on the show by a lady electrician. She says, Ray, you should never do that. Boy, she got in my case. I said, your safety class, you got an A in.
when you're younger and you might not work for a company that has a high priority in safety, you're going to get shocked.
Yep. Safety first and foremost. Yeah. No, you shouldn't get shocked, okay?
No.
But the reality, if you're in the electrical trade, you're going to get shocked. Just hopefully it's only 110, you know, something like that, 120. Because that higher volts, that hurts. Been there too, 50 amps in the back. Oh!
Every bit of it, from 120 volts all the way up, it could all kill you.
And every bit of it.
Yep.
Depends on how you are, where you are, and the circumstances involved. But mm-hmm. you don't want to get shocked. You don't want. You shouldn't. Nope. There are safety precautions everyone should take and not have that happen. Don't do it. Enough said. We'll be back. All right. Welcome back. You know, we talked a lot about kids, put tools in schools. Well, there's another sector out there. Let me do a little plug for Star Electric. Star Electric's got, what, 5 locations in the Carolinas?
Yes.
5? Meaning they're all over the states, okay? Meaning there's a lot of opportunity, job opportunities, not just in Charlotte, but in surrounding cities and counties and all that as well. Star Electric is a industrial commercial electrical company. They do not do residential.
No.
They don't do Romex to any great degree.
No.
But, well, I know Romex isn't commercial, but very limited, yeah. relatively speaking. You know, but... You know, there's a lot of folks out there might even be listening right now that are in corporate America, and they don't like it. They don't like the rigors, the rules, the protocols. They're just not a happy camper, right? So you want to look for an opportunity beyond where you're at in corporate. Star Electric might be your avenue of approach. You want to embellish on that a little bit?
Yeah. So there is no age limit. If you're serious about, you know, a possible career change or just going into the trade. You know, we're always seeking people. It doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter gender, age, race, doesn't matter. If you are interested in a career in the trades, electrical work, there's lots of companies out there that are hiring. There's lots of companies out there that will give you the opportunity.
Right.
So.
I hear you. Well, and I had to throw that out there for sure.
So, I just remembered this. We actually have somebody at Star Electric that used to work in money, involved at Wall Street, and they got tired of it. They made a change. And they are now an electrician. And they love it. They won't go back. They won't go back to that previous world that they lived in.
Right.
They made a new, you know.
A shift.
Yeah. They made a shift. They created something new. And, you know, they were given an opportunity, and they're running with it. And they're doing very well, very successful.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I want to say if you're 40 years old and you're just sick of the rat race, there's other avenues for you. And it's relatively quick. It's not a long process to, you know, get up to where you're making decent money. Most of it's your attitude.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something. If you jump in the trades and you like it, you'll take off.
Yeah.
Especially today.
Tons of opportunity, tons of advancement.
Incredible. Incredible opportunities. Incredible.
Many different career paths within the trades.
Many. Many, many, many. But I told you I'd talk about heat, so I'm going to talk about heat a little bit, okay? Right now, this time of the year, it's the hottest time of the year, no question about it. Hot, humid conditions, crawl spaces. I got 2 calls this week from people, from listeners that said, Ray, had my pest control company out here this week, and they said my moisture's high in the crawl space. I said, sure it is. They said, well, what do you mean, sure it is? I said, right now, if you've got a crawl space in the city of Charlotte, 90% of the crawl spaces in Charlotte are high in humidity. In moisture content. Why? Because we're in the middle of the hottest 2 months of the year, July and August. Humidity today, well, y'all know what hot and muggy is. Go outside, right? Hot, muggy day. Well, all that humidity that's in the air, if your crawl space is open or it's a vented crawl space, it's going to be, if your vents are open, you're going to have a hot, humid moist crawl space, especially this time of the year. Once again, I have to explain a little science to you so you understand why. Well, if you've got ductwork, and that's a contingency here, if you've got ductwork in your crawl space, your air conditioning air, after it's, you know, energized with cold, should run around 58 degrees coming out of the boots, coming out of the ductwork. So you got 58 degree air flowing through those ducts. Now, if you've got duct leakage, air leakage in your ductwork, then that 58 degree air is coming out into the crawl space. Well, you got 58 degree air that's been dehumidified because your air conditioner is not much more than a big dehumidifier. That's why the condensate drains all the time in the summertime. You drip, 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 that little pipe sticking out of your house. And if you don't know where that little pipe is, that's one of the things you as a homeowner or resident should know about. And you should constantly be aware of that, because once it stops flowing there, you got a problem. You got a problem. Somebody's shaking their head. Y'all had that problem before?
Mm-hmm.
This year?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Tell me a story. See, it happens right here.
So
I noticed water. Was it underneath the stairs in the basement?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like, why is there water? And he went out to, I don't know what it's called.
The condensate drain.
Yeah.
Yeah, the condensation
pump.
It was
blocked, wasn't it?
Oh, you had a pump.
Yeah, we have a condensation pump.
Talk closer.
We have a condensation pump. The line goes up. This is in our basement. The line goes up.
Okay.
And out.
Yeah.
And that's it. But you're right. You have to know where those drain lines are, because they do get clogged.
They do?
And ours got clogged and started leaking.
Vast amount of people this year, right now, have blocked condensate drains and problems. Water, excessive water as a result. Slabs, they go in their carpets wet. You know, I mean, on and on. And a lot of crawl spaces have these pumps in them, like you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
And they quit working. And when they quit working, that means the water got to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to overflow in that little pan and go on the floor.
Those of you that have air handlers in your attic, that water is going to go into your ceiling. Then you're going to
eventually,
have,
if it doesn't have an overflow pan. And the ones that do have an emergency overflow pan, which is probably since 2000, the year 2000, it's code. You've got to have that. Now they got to have emergency switches. When it doesn't work, your unit shuts down.
Yeah, isn't that a float switch?
Yeah, a float switch.
Something like that.
Yep. And then, so there are precautions, but if you live in an older house, you know, like back to crawl spaces, you got 58 degree air hitting, 90 degree today, humidity's going to be in the upper 60s probably, so you got 58 degree air hitting that hot, moist, humid air. What do you get? Water. You get hot, humid air in the crawl. Water. Now, if you go, once again, you go out to your crawl space door and you open your door, if you feel a blast of cold air, you've got I can't think of my words. My mind's not working here. You've got disconnected ductwork, or you've got duct leakage, big time, and you need to have it attended to. And, you know, that's a telltale sign that you've got issues. If all your vents are closed, which they should be right now, that's Ray Terry talking. Not everybody will agree with me, but I'm telling you, if you shut those vents, that hot, humid air can't get into your crawl space. You're conditioning your crawl space somewhat and balancing the weather under there. Yep, it's weather in your crawl space. But these are major issues, and if moisture gets high in there, you're going to have more bugs, more everything. It's just problematic. You look under there, and it looks like stalactites, whatever they are, hanging down from the insulation because there's so much moisture. That's a problem. And the silver bullet, cure-all, is not, will not ever be, encapsulation. There are other answers and other resolves. First thing, you need an HVAC contractor out there to button up all your ductwork and make sure your duct leakage is to a minimal. One more thing, and I've said it a dozen times on this show. All the boots, typically in a newer home, you've got flex duct. Flex ducts is insulated, wrapped duct, plastic ductwork they use in most houses of today. It's flexed up. Comes in 4, 5, 4, 6, 7, 8, various diameters, 9, 10, big stuff, 12 for air returns, various things. All this flex duct, okay, good stuff. But it transitions to metal either at the main plenum or at the boot going through the floor. Well, if that boot going through the floor, it's metal, right? So if that boot is exposed to the air, open air in the crawl space, you got 58-degree air and you got, say, 70-degree air or 80-degree air in your crawl, you know, and it's hitting that boot, what do you get? 58-degree, 85-degree, what do you get? Water. Sweat.
Condensation.
Condensation. Where does that water around that boot go? It drains right back into that flex duct and just sits down in the low area, sits and gets heavier and heavier until it droops. And then you can go in there and stick a pocket knife in the bottom of it, and it'll drain water. People say, where'd water come from? How'd water get in that boot? I mean, how'd water get in there? And right now, as I speak to you, there's thousands of homes in Charlotte, North Carolina, with this problem. Thousands. And you don't even know it. Now, as your air conditioner flows through across that water that's in that ductwork, you get more humidity in the house. So it's adding humidity to your house. See, it's all about knowing your system. Get intimate with your house. I said it for years. You get intimate with your house. If you own a house, you got problems. You say, well, how do you know I got problems? Because you own a house. Mm-hmm. When does it ever stop? How long y'all been in your house?
4.5 years.
4.5 years, and it never stops, does it?
Never.
Always something to do, take care of, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Always. Always. That's a house.
Yep.
So you get intimate with your house, and you know about the condensate drain now, don't you, Caitlin?
Yeah.
You didn't before that, though, did you? Because you went upstairs and said, you walked upstairs and says, what's water doing on the floor? You knew, probably. It didn't take you long to find out.
Yeah, it won't take long.
Yeah. These are things that this time of the year, what we're speaking about, is the main issue with residential construction. The biggest problem you'll hear about this time of the year in any house, you know, is water, moisture issues. I got two calls this week questioning, and I just told them, don't worry about it. Go back in February. What you see today is quite the opposite in February. That's knowing your house on a seasonal basis. The coldest, less humid, driest month of the year is February. The most humid, wet months of the year are July and August. Typically, it's August in general. August is the hottest month, typically, but overall. But these are things that you need to know about owning a home. And air conditioning, comfort. Comfort's a struggle, and I know I repeat a lot of this week after week, but some people just don't get it, and it took me years to figure out what a three-way, you wire a three-way switch. Well, it takes years for some people to get it on any topic, especially your home. But if you've got a two-story house and one unit, typically that house is going to be on a slab, and your unit's going to probably be air handlers in the attic, and you're struggling like heck to get a good balance in your house, making the upstairs as cool as it needs to be for comfort, because the bottom is going to be. Why? Because all the cold air goes to the floor. Okay, then now we're going to deal with the attic. Is your attic insulated well enough? Probably not. That's the first, I think, instead of attacking the crawl space on an insulation basis, you attack your attic and encapsulate an attic. How big is your house?
2,800 square feet.
28 square, and you've got 2,800 square feet of heated, and you said there's three floors?
Yes.
Means the footprint's approximately 1,000 square feet? The footprint meaning you're about 1,000 square feet. Yep. You know, any hips and valleys and all that stuff are pretty square.
Yeah, we're a square house.
See, if you're a square house, you can encapsulate that attic relatively inexpensive. When you encapsulate that attic with spray, open cell spray foam, you're changing the whole dynamic of the whole cooling, heating and cooling. Your whole comfort system just changed because your attic temperatures will not exceed 80 degrees. So it's something to think about. Now, what can you do beyond or in place of replacing that system because it's not big enough, not doing the job? One, find out where your leaks are. And right now, if you could get a home inspection company that does thermal imaging or an environmental CDA environmental. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm sorry, my brain ain't working right. It must be that age getting to me. But at any rate, you know, if you take a company that can do thermal imaging right now, the differential between outside and inside in the heat of the day, you can take thermal imaging and spot, literally with thermal imaging, your hot areas and your cold areas for heat transfer and find out where your problems are. Such as, there are many fireplaces. These heatilators or contain fireplaces, the steel inserts, all those. They're put in chases. There's a lot of houses in Charlotte. Those chases are not insulated. They're not insulated, and they're just...
Most of them, yeah.
You'd be surprised. But you can pick that up on thermal imaging. It stands, it just glares with a thermal imaging camera. And you can get that fixed. There's a lot of areas in homes right now that you can repair, fix, identify, and do something about if you know it's there. But out of sight, out of mind, you don't know it. So I feel like I need to talk about this frequently because a lot of people don't think about it, don't even know about it, and it costs you money. Price of energy now has never been higher.
It's the biggest pull on your electrical bill.
Yep.
Your HVAC.
Yep. This time of the year, you're spending money on comfort like no other time of the year. How can you minimize that? Now, if you apply the principles that I talk about on this show, you're going to save money. And it will literally pay for the improvements in the money you save. How do I know this? Because many listeners over the years that I've been on radio running my big mouth, people have listened to, a lot of listeners, and they've applied these methods and these things, and their bills never exceed $100 to $150 bucks. What's your power bill run a month, Bean Counter?
Almost close to $300.
Way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Way too much. $300, a lot of money. Although, I've heard worse.
Yeah.
Lady heard this conversation I'm having right now with my listeners out in Foxcroft. Next week, I went out there to clean her drive-in. And she says, Ray, I heard you Saturday. Listen to your show on Saturday. I says, yeah. She says, I think I'm one of those candidates for a energy audit or thermal imaging. I says, really? She says, yeah, we got a pretty high power bill. I says, what might that be? She says, $1,200. I said,
whoa,
what? She says, $1,200 a month. I said, now that's a big house, granted, but $1,200 a month? That's insane.
Oh my God.
That's crazy. And I says, my God.
There's something wrong.
There's something wrong. Now she got a pool. Pool's up the price too, but not that much.
Mm-mm.
No.
But anyway, so she did get to the bottom of some of her issues. But see what it did to her talking about it. She said, I heard you. And a lot of people just take, well, just that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. No, it's not. No. Two people in the past 2 months have given me feedback. And I've had a lot more than that through the years. And I've told a story about one lady built a house in 2011 that listens to the show every week, and she applied all the principles I talked about. Her bill never runs up above $100, 3,200 square foot house.
Wow.
So it can be done. It can be done. Hmm. So, and it can be done with an older house. Contractor friend called me this week, and he's been on the show here. And he says, Ray, I wanted to call you and tell you my moisture sensor is telling me I got 90% humidity under the house. And then I says, sensor's wrong. I said, it ain't 90%. He said, well, it can't be because of all I did last year because he had other issues. I'm going to check my sensor. I'll get back to you. I said, you need to get a moisture meter and check your framing. Check your floor joists. See what they are because that's going to give you a real measurement of the moisture that's in the crawl space. And he was going to do that and get back to me. But, you know, there again, if you've got systems in your house, like Atmox. Atmox, have you ever heard of Atmox? Mm-hmm. It's a ventilation system. I highly endorse it, highly recommend it, other than encapsulation. If you've got a vented crawl space and you call Atmox, A-T-M-O-X, get them out there to give you an estimate on what it would take to get a good ventilation system. Rodney McGee installed one. Several other people have installed it. It works. They're great. Just making you aware of the methods. Here's another issue in our industry today, and I hear about it weekly too. People are very apprehensive about answers they're getting these days. They call a company out, and they're trying to sell them $20,000 worth of stuff. And they called me and said, Ray, I can't afford $20,000. I said, no, I can't. I don't blame you. And what it is we got salesmen out there. Mm-hmm. We got salesmen in the industry. They're upselling and trying to sell you something you don't really need. But they're not going to tell you the alternatives, not every company. We have a sponsor on the show right here called Carolina Foundation Solutions. They won't upsell you. They won't sell you an encapsulated crawl space if you don't need it. And they won't sell you something that they want to just sell you. They're not in the business to sell you. They're in the business to help you with your issues. Find solutions, not spend your money. Matter of fact, they'll save you money in the long run. Not all companies are that way. Big problem. Big problem in today's world. Big problem. So I wanted to cover it because we are in the heat of summer, and it's, you know, you just got ways. Now, one thing I didn't mention real quick, that's the almighty split system. Split systems are mini systems. They're fantastic for supplemental cooling and heating. And really, and there's some houses out here that if you put a mini split in a bonus room upstairs or something, it would give you incredible comfort and help balance your whole house. And call a good HVAC company and question them. Say, is there a chance I could put a mini split? Had a customer call me the other day, asked me if she could put a mini split upstairs to help cool her house. I said, sure you can. Sure. She said, and it would help pull the load off the existing system. Sure it will. So there are various ways to do it. And you don't have to get a 5-year loan. Promise you. They're out there. But we're going to take a break here, final break of the show. And once again, don't have any takers on my question. When do you, is a four-way used, four-way switch used in your house or building or whatever? When is it used? When is it applicable? It's a real simple answer. 704-227-8986. Lunch, dinner, whatever, meal ticket. McCoy's Smokehouse and Saloon. Great food. 7 days a week. Give us a call. We'd love to hear your answer. 704-227-8986. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. You know, we were talking about attic insulation during the break here. Found out about another. Y'all have been great testimonials today. Wonderful. We're talking about insulating attics, and y'all had a house one time where y'all what?
We had to re-insulate the attic.
Or just add some?
Yeah.
Was it add?
Yeah, we just added.
Okay.
Well.
No, I think it wasn't insulated at all.
Really?
No.
Yeah, you're right.
It was not insulated at all.
You lived in a house that wasn't insulated. It was in the country, I can tell you that, probably. Or
kind
was it
of.
In the city?
Kind of. We were considered country. We wouldn't live in the city, but we were close enough to the city. But we were close enough to the city.
Right. Well, you were basically a rural house that
kind
of encroached upon the city.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have any insulation in the attic.
No.
So y'all, what'd you do?
Blew the insulation in, the big old machine.
Mm-hmm.
Made a big difference.
Huge.
Well, huge. Of course, with no insulation versus insulating would be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's much better.
It's amazing right now, too, speaking of the heat. Have you been in your attic lately? A lot of people, we talk about crawl space all the time. I don't want to go in my crawl space. It's nasty, and there's spiders and rats and dirt and, you know, all that. Ugh.
Snakes.
Snakes, yeah. Yeah, snakes. One of my contractor friends got bit by a copperhead in his crawl space.
Oof.
Too. He told me about that this week. But anyway, we talk about areas in your home that you don't go in. And attics are one of them. Quick story about an attic. I was told to go inspect an attic. Well, if I'm going to inspect your attic, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to crawl your attic. Well, I crawled in the upper right-hand corner of their house, which nobody had been there since probably the house was built. There was a duct open, removed from the boot, the ceiling boot, just laying in the attic. That, two things. All that conditioned air was coming up through that boot into the attic, which is crazy, wasted. And then all the air conditioner that's supposed to be going through the boot is going in the attic, which you're not cooling the attic. You're cooling your house. Naturally, I told them about it. They had the guys come out and fix it. These are the things that you need inspected. We talk about home inspections and various things. Matter of fact, Matthew Query is coming back on the show in a couple weeks. We're going to talk about these issues just like I'm talking about. Out of sight, out of mind. There's a lot about a house, and I say get intimate with your house. But most people won't crawl in their attic, won't get up there and crawl around. Well, people, you need to know these things. You can call an inspector. You can do it yourself. It doesn't matter who does it. We talked about this attic tent concept, about your disappearing stairway. Seal it up. You can do that with an attic tent, attictent.com. They're very, very effective. Matter of fact, it's probably the most effective little thing you can do to a house to say, to enhance comfort and cut cost, I promise. So, you know, these are things I'm just telling you to help. But how long did it take you to insulate that attic?
Like an hour and a half, 2 hours? No?
Yeah.
It didn't take long, did it? But that hour and a half, 2 hours was hot. If it did in the summer, when did you do it? What time of the year?
In the summer.
Yeah, in the summer.
The hottest part, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, attics are pretty brutal. People say, how you get up in an attic? It's 140, 150 degrees up there. I said, it's a mental thing.
You climb up there.
You climb up. You just say, I'm gonna be hot as heck for about an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. And when we go up there to do work, I say, I still go up in attics and do work. And they says, well, let's be sure we're taking everything we need with us. Because once I get up there, I don't want to come back down. That's the key thing. Matter of fact, the most challenging thing in the trades, I'll say this, or any task for that matter, is being prepared. Being prepared. For example, last week I did a job Tuesday. I had to put a vent hood in and vent it through the garage, across the garage ceiling out there. I screwed up on that job. Normally I hit 100, you know, make 100, and I take everything with me. Tuesday I didn't. I failed. I had four batteries, all battery tools, no power tools. That was my downfall. There are certain cases you battery tools will not work, especially if you're cutting a lot of holes, because you're going to drain your batteries. Then you're going to be waiting for more power. So the point to my story is I left the electric power Sawzall, reciprocating saw, I left it in the warehouse. I shouldn't have. It should be on the truck. I also left my power oscillating tool. I needed the oscillating tool. And I needed the oscillating tool, too. So what I do, I had to send my cohort back to the warehouse. We shot an hour and a half.
Time and money.
Time and money, because I didn't plan properly. So the moral to the story is the big challenge on any task, even with electricians, do they have all they need when they go to the job? Now, how do you know if you've never been to the job before? Somebody's got to... The most important thing we all do every day we do the most important thing we do is what? Communicate. Communicate. And that's part of it, because I asked tons of questions, but the homeowner couldn't give me the answers to that one. That was on me. And I knew when I got there, I said, oh, dear, we got a problem. This ain't going to work. So, you know, then I needed a cut-in box, too. Because if you need a cut-in box, sometimes ain't nothing else going to work but a cut-in box. Mm-hmm. So I had to get a cut-in box. But luckily, as the day progressed, I figured out a way to get away without using the cut-in box. See, it's all about experience and knowledge. You got a phone call, Mr. Tice. Let me talk to him. Good morning, Mr. Tice. How are you doing?
Oh, good morning, Ray. How are y'all doing today?
Doing great, thank you, sir. Glad you called. You got an answer to the question?
Yeah, I do have the answer.
All right, all right. And I'm going to shoot straight with our listeners, okay? Kevin is an electrician, and a good one at that. Very knowledgeable, been in the industry. And I have to tell you, I have to give kudos to you, Mr. Tice. See, I'm going to use you right here. Kevin, how many years you got in electrical trade?
42
years. You got
same company.
Star Electric, 42 years. See, there you go, right there. I can't read that.
All with.
Okay. 40 years with Star Electric. You start in high school?
Went to a year of college and said, that's not for me, and started with them.
So you went to college and said, nope, ain't going to do it. And then why'd you pick electrical?
Actually, my brother-in-law actually owned the company.
Cool. Awesome. That's a great story. Thank you. Now, what's the answer to a question? And thank you for all your support, by the way.
You're welcome. All right, four-way. You would use a four-way when you want to control lights in a room from more than two locations.
That means there's three switches that'll cut the lights on or more, because you can use more four-way switches, can't you?
That is correct. If you're going to control the lights from one location, you need a single-pole switch. If you're going to control the lights from two locations, you need a three-way switch. If you're going to do it from more than two locations, you need two three-ways and a four-way.
Exactly. Thank you, Kevin. You win the prize, call you and get your address and get it to you, okay?
Quick question.
Sure.
I don't want it, Ray. Give it to somebody.
Kevin, quick question.
All right.
How many four-ways are you limited to?
Unlimited.
That's a great question, because I was thinking the same thing. I said, is there a limit to it?
No limit.
Unlimited.
Now, I'd like to ask another question, and I've asked this, Kevin, and brother. I said, how can you tell a single-pole switch from another switch? It's just people.
A single pole switch will say off and on.
Right.
On it.
Right.
A three-way will not say anything.
Nope.
A four-way will not say anything.
Nope.
Double pole will say off and on.
There you go. A double pole.
Yep.
Now, what's a double pole? You threw me a curve there.
It's basically two single pole switches on the same switch.
Oh, okay. I got you. I understand that.
Yep.
Right. Okay. But typically, when you've got a single pole switch, you'll see on and off on it. So anyway, we got to wrap it
in
up here.
Down, if you put it in upside down, it'll say foe and no.
Foe and no. There you go. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate you, bro.
All right.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thank you, too. I appreciate it.
Our time
is dwindling away. Thank you, all your listeners. I hope you got something out of today's show. I know we talk a lot about put tools in schools and our kids and this, that, and the other, but we got an issue here. Many, many issues, and it runs deep. So thank you, Star Electric. Thank you for supporting Put Tools in Schools the way you have. Thank you, Kevin. You ain't Kevin. You're Jeremy. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy, for all you do. And thanks, Star. Star's been very supportive, and we certainly appreciate it. Thank you for all that. And make it a great week. Go out and spread some love. We definitely need to get along more. Boy, there's more division in this country than I care to think about. Unbelievable. Let's spread some love. Figure out a way to get along. Tough times ahead. Hopefully, they'll go away quickly. So we're going to be good for it. So go spread some love. Find the elderly. We'll see you back here next week. We're going to talk to Line Services next week here in the show. It for blind folks. It's a blind organization. We want to instill confidence, empower those as well, and we're going to talk about that right here on About Your House. Up in coming weeks, we've got some great shows ahead, so tune in as we going to hit it together. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you back here next week, About Your House.